the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation, and I'm here with Tristan Vick. How's it going, Tristan?
I'm doing well.
And this week, we have a special guest. We have a beat writer for Pro Soccer USA, third degree, and a co-host of Uncle Sam's Soccer Podcast. We've got Armin Kafai. How's it going, Armin?
I'm doing good, y'all. How are y'all?
Good. Did I just butcher your name?
Nope. Actually did it better than any of my teachers growing up could do. So there you go.
Not bad for a boy from Oklahoma. pretty big week last week. We had the loss to San Jose, and then we followed it up by winning the El Capitan, the Texas Derby, if you will, on Saturday with quite a convincing win over Houston. Tristan and Armin, what did you guys think about that match? We'll start with you, Armin.
I thought it was a nice, convincing victory. I don't know about y'all, but I mean, after that San Jose defeat, which seemed to be a little erratic from the team, I think it was a nice, confident result to beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. Houston, they've been pretty bad as of late. I mean, they only have that U.S. Open Cup final to really think about. And Dallas need to beat a team that they should beat. They can't have these losses against a team like San Jose, who's been awful, but still ends up beating them. Especially each point is important. And as a playoff race, you know, heats up faster and faster. I think it was a big, convincing win, especially going into this little break that they have.
Yeah, I agree. I was particularly impressed with the way that they dealt with the rivalry situation. There being a little bit of pressure, even though they're ahead in the standings and Houston probably won't even make the playoffs. It's nice to see them come out with very attacking minded formation. The best piece of football I saw was just the way that we dealt with the defensive adjustments to protect the back line, to prevent the leaky defense that we've had the past couple of games. So I was impressed by that, as well as the way that Baji and Rudy and Barrios, everybody linked up in the front, front four. It was nice to see. And then anytime that Mascaro is going hard like that, I think Oscar put it best in the post-game press conference when he basically said, the guy's got a lot of talent. It's about learning how to capture that talent and utilize it. And I think this match was a great example of how to do that without overexerting or unnecessarily exerting effort from that player. So I was impressed.
Yeah. He also said that, you know, we have the effort. We just have to put it in the right, but we have to channel it right, or something to that nature. So yeah, definitely had the offense kicking on Saturday night. Anybody in particular catch y'all's eyes besides the obvious Mascara?
I would say I'm actually releasing a piece on this for Pro Soccer USA as a part of coverage from last game, but I enjoyed watching Abel Aguilar play a couple nights ago. Oscar talked about before the match on Friday that he really wanted a guy like Victor Ulloa was last year, who would come in and kind of close out the match, you know, set up shop, calm things down in the midfield and just control the game, slow down the tempo. And I think what we saw from Aguilar was that. I think there was a run or a little stretch where he had like three or four straight passes, like the 85th, 86th minute, just kind of controlling the game, slowing it down. And it's something Oscar said that in the San Jose match, they didn't have. I mean, we saw how hectic it was. They scored it was four goals total scored in like a 12 minute span. The game was hectic and really just, there's just too much going on for Dallas. And I think Abel, with his World Cup experience coming in, I think is going to be a crucial piece for this team, especially going into playoff season.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was nice to see a veteran presence, that kind of somebody who's combined veteran presence with a little bit of youthful exuberance, since it was his first time putting on the FC Dallas shirt. That was nice to see. And yeah, you didn't have a back and forth. I mean, we've shown that we're most exposed often when we get a first goal or we get a game tying goal. And so it was nice to see us actually hold a lead for once and not give up unnecessary chances. Really, the only chance that we really conceded on were the penalty, and then obviously a poor turnover in a defensive zone that we can't really make those types of mistakes if we're gonna go find the playoffs. So I'm with you on that. I think the calm was present.
Yeah, I think he made, like, as soon as he came in, he made a turnover, and we kind of looked at each other and said, uh-oh. And then it, like you said, it was a bunch of, he'd get the ball and make the easy, calm pass. So yeah, definitely good. For me, I was just happy to see Grazo back. I think that even more than Ziegler was missed in the San Jose, I said it last episode, I'm convinced that Grazo is the thing that was missing the most in that game. And I think it was evident the entire game that that we perform better defensively with him there in front of the defense.
I can agree with you on that. I absolutely agree with you that partnership, I mean, with Jacory, he looked a little bit, I guess you could say, rusty. He hasn't played that much in that San Jose match. And I think Grazo, he kind of started off a little bit slower than I think a lot of people wanted him to, but he's kind of gotten back to that form. And let's not forget, he's a DP and they signed him from Stuttgart. So he wants to go back to Europe. That's his goal. So I think he's putting on these performances that are really showing why he's a player of that caliber.
For sure. Yeah. I think it was interesting also in the press conference, somebody was asking about how the midfield coped with, was it Martinez from Houston? Mm-hmm. And how he likes to sit in between the lines. And I think that the communication and the understanding between Grazo and Ulloa on who was going to have him and who was going to pick him up and who was going to let him go and press up a little bit higher. I think that it was apparent that there's a partnership and an understanding between the two that's started to form over the past month or so. So, and we'll have an audio of me asking Victor Ulloa about that here in a bit. So hang on, or attempting to. We'll tell you about it later. So Dominic Baggi, Tristan, do you like Dom, or how does he working out for you?
I did some deep diving yesterday and on Sunday about Dominic Baggi, and I'm really, really liking what he brings. I did that because of a couple of reasons. One was in the press conference, he started talking about how they were using him as a target man. Oscar Pereja said he was more of a target man for them. And the other person he mentioned was Christian, which basically means just Dominique. And so... so what that showed me was that they were really looking forward to having that physical presence. But in my research, I realized, like, this is a guy who can not only control a ball, but has a lot of pace, is very uniquely gifted physically. But I feel like he's the type of mentality of a player that we're going to be able to use a lot, because he's not the best player. He's not the fastest player on the pitch. He's got a ton of players surrounding him that create those opportunities for him to get in front of the ball. But here's the most interesting part. He's Senegalese. But he's lived here for 7 years. He's not capped by anyone. Mm-hmm. And he's only 25. I think that Baggi is a great person that they should try to naturalize, but nonetheless, or get a green card or whatever they need to get him a passport. On the other hand, I find for FC Dallas, at least, he's a great person to have to not only, I thought he played really well with a Rudy. And you heard Oscar talk about, like, a Rudy's going into this new role where he's the real second striker, which is what he's always played his career, except for when he came to Dallas, they didn't really have anybody to play off of that. And so it's nice to see a Rudy in that role, because you kind of fit players now where they're more comfortable. And so I'm looking forward to what he brings the rest of the season, what he brings for a team that's actually going to be challenging for MLS Cup and not in the situation that Colorado's in. So I'm excited. I really am. I think FC Dallas fans are going to be spoiled a little bit when they start to see the rest of how the team really fits together.
Armin, you liking Dominic Baggi?
Yeah, I actually do. I know a lot of people are like, oh, he's got off to a slow start. And I agree to a degree. Sometimes we haven't seen him, but I think it's going to take a while, especially for someone to acclimate to Dallas. I mean, don't forget, the first thing I asked him, I remember, he really was specific about acclimating to the weather too. Cause I mean, you remember you're coming from Colorado to Dallas. I mean, come on, there's a little bit of a difference between the two. So he's gotten acclimated, and I just, off the ball movement. I mean, there was one play during the match where I was like, okay, this is where Bodgy's going to take off. And the only way Senderos could stop him, the Dynamo center back, was by to grab at him and play really physical. I think that's where we saw kind of that weird play that didn't end up being called a foul, but kind of looked like it was one. His pace is blistering. The off the ball movement of the offense is looking really sharp. And like you said, Tristan, it does get Arruti into his more, I guess, natural position as that second forward that drops deeper. We saw that set with Coleman, especially, but we know Coleman has not performed and cannot even, if he was sitting in the ocean, he couldn't hit water right now. Come on, let's be honest. He's been really bad. He's been really poor in terms of that. But I think Bodgy gives those elements of Coleman, but that clinical finishing and a little bit of pace as well. So I think we're starting to see the benefits. And that Columbus game, I'm circling, because I think that's when Bodgy can get it really all together, and we're going to see a good, sharp performance from him.
Do you think the way that he gets brought in, though? Like, I think a trade mid-season where he's, for a guy like Acosta, who, mm-hmm. like, yeah, he was mm-hmm. loved by the fans, but it's not like you're replacing all that love. You're just another guy that we bring in that, like, hey, he's a good forward and he'll give us some goals. Like, he's not expected to be a 20 goal a season forward. I wonder if Oscar's kind of set him down and said, hey, like, get comfy, like, we're going to be patient with your, like, betting in. Like, he didn't, I think he went two or three matches before he even, like, made the bench. After the trade, it wasn't a registration mm-hmm. issue, I don't think, but that's sort of a betting in, I think, is important as well.
You know, Tristan, I think that's a really good point, especially the fact that, you know, Acosta was expecting this trade, maybe not to Colorado, but he was expecting a trade. I mean, that's the one thing that we've all talked about. That's they've had discussion that he'd like to be elsewhere. He was unhappy with where he was at Dallas. Bodgy, on the other hand, I don't think was. Actually, I think he even almost admitted to me that he kind of wasn't expecting this. It was a surprise. And it's his first time moving clubs. So, like you said, just that you know, that kind of shock factor of being traded, I think also does play a role in his little slow acclimation. And I think you're right on that part.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing how the Columbus match turns out. And, yeah. So anybody have any other thoughts on the Houston game before we move on?
I got nothing.
All right. So real quick, before we move on to talk about the U.S. men's national team, we are going to play some sound bites from us going into the locker room. But before that, we need to, I neglected at the beginning to kind of talk a little bit about Armin and get to know him a little bit better. So if you are unfamiliar with Armin and what he does, Armin, tell us about yourself and how you got to become an FC Dallas beat writer.
Yeah. So I'm an original Plano kid. So I'm from the area, born and raised. I grew up around the Plano Frisco area. Actually, I did grow up going to a couple of FC Dallas games. My dad, not the biggest MLS guy. So we I'd used to be like, hey man, let's go to the FC Dallas games. And he just look at me and ignore what I was saying. But I did grow up around, back when it was Pizza Hut Park. I used to go to high school football games there, a couple of FC Dallas games, all that good stuff. And going into my freshman year of college, I had a little bit of writing experience from high school. I decided to apply a third degree. I said, hey, are y'all looking for some people? They said, yeah. And I sent them a couple things and they said, all right, let's have a test run. My first story, believe it or not, was the whole Fabian Castillo transfer saga thing. So I was thrown into that mess immediately. And yeah, it was one interesting thing, because you have 1 week where everyone was talking about, oh, he's gone, yay, good for him. And then you have Clavijo talking about, in a little impromptu press conference, how money changes people in Spanish. So it was a little bit of a wild ride. But from there, the spot at Pro Soccer USA opened up at one point, and I decided to apply for it. And here we are today, just talking about FC Dallas and hopefully providing more coverage than ever.
Yeah. And I mentioned at the beginning that he is a co-host on Uncle Sam's Soccer Podcast. If you haven't listened to that, after you've subscribed to our podcast, head over to iTunes and check out Uncle Sam's Soccer Podcast. The latest episode they had on Alexi Lawless, which is really cool. And you know, they have had some tremendous guests on the past couple episodes. Ever since I learned about it, I'm a subscriber as well. And so, don't miss out on that. So tell us a little bit about that podcast and, how all that works out.
Yeah. So, as I was doing this writing thing, one of my buddies approached me and said, "Hey, like, I'm interested in, you know, what you do. And, I like it. I have the recording equipment and stuff like that. I'm interested in soccer. Let's talk about it." So we decided to focus on American soccer. And it's been a wild ride. I'll tell you that. We started off very slow, just talking amongst ourselves and then getting some guests. I think one of our key turning points throughout that was our coverage during the U.S. soccer presidential election. I think that was a massive part of our growth. Interviewing a couple of candidates here or there and just trying to give a different perspective on U.S. soccer. I mean, y'all talk on the field, which is awesome, which is great. I love talk on the field, but kind of the focus on there is more the off the field things, such as, you know, lower leagues, you know, the structure of MLS, is a certain thing going to happen? MLS to Austin has been a big thing we've been hammering on the last couple of weeks. So it's a little bit, you know, if you want to supplement your on the field coverage, some off the field coverage, I think we got you covered.
All right. Well, you and Tristan can be friends because he's a huge U.S. men's national team guy. So we'll get to that here in a bit and I'll let you guys talk because that's not my area of expertise.
Oh, come on, Dustin. You got to join him.
Okay. Maybe. okay. So just to give everybody a little bit of a background, so we met on our first or our second time up in the press box. Armin and I kind of talked via Twitter a couple times. Then we met up there and invited him on the show and everything. And this past weekend at the Houston game, Tristan and I thought, hey, let's go and let's get some audio from the players in the locker room afterwards. And we thought, oh, I don't know. We've never done this before. Okay. So we asked Armin if we could tag along since he's going to be on the show. And we said, hey, can we tag along and record you asking players? And so Armin was gracious enough to kind of show us the ropes. And so we're not just standing in a room full of sweaty, colognes men who are half naked, just standing there like idiots. Yeah, it was definitely a good experience, and thank you to you for letting us tag along.
So, oh no, anytime. When it was my first time, I kind of was just kind of thrown in there, and I'm just standing around looking like a lost puppy. Like, what do I do? Do I like go up to them? Do I stand here and wait for someone? And it was really interesting because, I mean, it was my first time like in the locker room. Of I was kind of starstruck a little bit, especially when I was younger, just looking around. Oh, wow. I see you on TV all the time. Now I'm next to you. Wow. You're massive. Jeez. So, yeah, I totally feel y'all when y'all say you don't want to look like a lost puppy. So
do you remember who your first interview was in the locker room?
Yes, it was either Ryan Hollingshead or Matt Hedges. It was one of those two. I think it was Matt, and then I went to Ryan at the end.
Very cool. So we'll start off here with Armin asking Marquinhos Pedroso some questions, and after that we talked to Victor Ulloa, and I attempted to ask about, you know, how important it was to have Carlos back in and have that partnership back. And I couldn't get the guts up to actually make him commit to liking having Grazo back over Hayes. So yeah, here's the audio for that.
What are your thoughts on the match tonight?
It was a great feeling. The team was great, great performance. We can score 4 goals or maybe more, you know, and we lost goals like in the front of the goalkeeper. But it happens. No, the important is that we score 4 goals. And unfortunately, we received 2 goals, but 1 penalty. I can see the video, but what I see was maybe he touching the ball, but was together with the guy, you know. Yeah, so I don't know, but we received on penalties too. So the great news is that finally we won a derby, because with the last 2 games we score, and after we receive a goal, you know, and we go sad to our homes and that stuff. So now we can score 4 goals. Unfortunately, we received 2, but the great news is that finally we won, and for me it was my first win in a derby. So I'm so happy. I'm very happy for this.
I mean, on defense, I think the intensity was really high. You guys really emphasize that after the San Jose game?
Yeah. We have a game Wednesday, and you know, we come back, we can rest good, you know, because our flight was 6 in the morning or 7, I don't remember right, but you can sleep good, and you know, you have to recover in just 2 days to play in one game like this, you know, like 35 degrees, and they want to win too, like us, you know, because they 2 draws at home, so they have to win one.
Right.
So yeah, like us. So it was a hard game, but very proud for my team, you know, for everybody run a lot. Even we can rest good, but you know, we give everything, so I'm very happy.
Thank you so much, Marquinhos. Thanks for the good. First off, what was your reaction after that 4-2 win, getting El Capitan back?
Obviously, so happy for that. When it was a stake, I think we've been very competitive with them the past 6-7 games, and glad to get the victory here at home after a defeat in San Jose. We needed to bounce back in our winning ways and stay up top the Western Conference, so very happy for the performance of the team tonight.
Seemed like the defensive intensity was up after that, allowing 4 goals at San Jose. It seems like guys are putting a lot more pressure, playing a lot more physical. Why that?
I think we, in San Jose, we lost concentration on key moments. We could say we were unlucky, but at the same time, it was defensive errors, and we didn't want to commit those tonight. It was important for us to try and maintain the 0, and even though we allowed 2 goals, we're not happy about that, but happy for the victory overall, and happy to get a little break here so we can forget a little bit about soccer and relax.
What happened on the penalty? What do you see in your eyes?
It's hard to say. I haven't seen the replay, but I thought I got the ball. He said he checked it, and I'll just have to look at it later tonight. It was close, though.
And now you guys get that nice 2 weeks off and rejuvenate, not think about soccer for a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. We get a little break here, a couple days off, and happy to get away from the fields for a little bit. And, end of the season, last 7 games, we have to refocus and ramp up for the playoffs.
Can you talk a little bit about the partnership that you have with Carlos?
I think we've been working really well together. Happy to be playing by him. He's an absolutely great world-class player and national team player, and you see the bite, you see the intensity that he has. He infects that to me. I try to copy a little bit of what he does, and I think we complement each other well. We're glad we're on the field together and putting in some good work.
Thank you so much.
See you guys.
There we go.
See you guys.
So U.S. Men's National Team rosters announced, and notably there's no presence of any of the FC Dallas typical mainstays, no Hedges, no Jesse. Notable exception that some people are curious about, no Reggie Cannon. There is a Kellen Acosta, but he doesn't count anymore. So based on that, I mean, we've got some pretty massive teams that we're playing against. So there's a low likelihood of success, but a high likelihood to grow and learn something. Of all the FC Dallas players, Armand, who are you most surprised to not see on the roster? And what about that omission do you think can be drawn?
So I think we all know the answer to this, right? It has to be Reggie Cannon. The way he's been playing has been phenomenal in MLS play. I would argue, and I think anyone in MLS would agree with me, he's a top two, top three right back in the league. His omission, it could be one of two things. It could be, okay, we don't think he's ready yet from Dave Sarakan. He wants to call up Shaq Moore, which is interesting because Shaq Moore actually hasn't played a game for his second division Spanish side because of registration issues. But I think a more probable thing, a conclusion to draw from this is we've seen it in the past. If you remember, I don't think Acosta or Hedges, or maybe just Acosta, they actually did not go to the January camp to train for the CONCACAF Champions League for Taro against Taro FC, which, I mean, obviously ended up bad, but they were there to train with FC Dallas in the offseason and get ready for the CCL. With Cannon, I would not be surprised if it was one of those cases where Oscar pulled him aside and said, hey, look, man, Dave, look, you're going to get another opportunity for this. You're good enough. We've seen your performances. You've played every MLS match, almost all of every Open Cup match, some CCL games thrown in there as well. Why don't you just take a rest next couple of weeks and stay in Dallas, rest up. You had an injury scare a few weeks back. Let's have you rest up. And it's your call, but rest up and let's get ready for the MLS run. That's what I think happened, because I think Reggie deserves it over Shaq Moore any day of the week.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think I've seen a couple of articles that were kind of trying to predict the lineup that we would be bringing out against a team like Brazil, kind of how we used a five at the back system versus France. And they're kind of thinking we're going to go to something similar. And so I could see one of the reasons actually being just tactically Reggie's not as experienced as some of the other options. I wouldn't necessarily say that Shaq Moore is, like, on the whole entirely more experienced, but he does have a little bit more experience just mm-hmm. with the national team in general. And if you're wanting to put on a player who's not going to be completely shell-shocked, why not put a player out there who's probably played against some of the Brazilians that are based in La Liga when he was at Levante in the first division? So that might be one reason. Mm-hmm. The other reason, I guess, would be, yeah, I think there is. I mean, we still, for almost a year now, have an interim head coach. Like any other national anything, if we had an interim, it would just be insane. And so I think it's partly he can't really say, like, hey, this is part of my greater plan, because Oscar knows, like, dude, you're here on a temporary basis. So I think that's probably another piece of it. I agree with you. I think it's a good squad, though. I don't know. I would be hard pressed to see what I haven't seen too much of the Red Bulls, but I do feel like Adams brings a lot of stability to the middle with McKinney. I'm surprised that Sebastian Legette got in the team, to be honest. That I didn't see that one coming. I like Marky Delgado. I think he's always played really well for Toronto. I'm surprised he's not been in there more often. The attacking options still, oof. When Pulisic's name's not on this roster, it looks bad. We're going to need some superstar performances if we want to avoid an embarrassing scoreline against Brazil and Mexico.
Tristan, I got to agree with you on this one, but I kind of want to focus on the interim coach side of things. I don't know about y'all. I actually want to get y'all's input on this. Do you guys think these games actually have meaning? And let me explain my thought process why I'm kind of conflicted on this. So, yeah, you'll get experience for players such as Tyler Adams, McKinney, even Shaq Moore, Anthony Robinson, all these guys. You'll continue to get experience for them. But the new coach might come in with a completely different plan, and this might mean nothing to these players. I think we're at such a weird point right now that without a true head coach, that these friendlies, they have meaning, but I don't think it's as much meaning as I think some people especially the media are putting on it.
Yeah, no, I think I understand that.
Yeah, I think I'd agree.
Go ahead, D.
I might actually be able to weigh in on something here. so I would agree. I think that the experience aspect is important here. And I think it's the only thing that's important here. When you look at like England and Germany back in the DOS reboot era, like you had one vision coming from up top and is percolating down, and all of the different levels are playing the same way. And they're raising their players. They're breeding their players to like come up and plug hole and play in the national team on the senior level. And if we don't have that clear vision coming from up top, it was just an interim guy. You can't have the lower or the younger teams playing the same way, or even trying to like emulate that or get their players used to that same system at all. So I think that the U.S. needs to find a permanent coach right away. And I don't like this interim nonsense.
Yep. I am similar, but I also, in terms of what the game's going to mean, I mean, when you get a team like Brazil and we play Mexico, anytime you play Mexico, it's an important game, I think. But I think the Brazil match will be similar to some of the other. I think last time they played a friendly in MetLife, I remember a notable one was when they played Argentina with Messi kind of at his peak with Barcelona. And I think it was just like, can we get 90,000 people to show up in September to see Messi play a utterly meaningless game? And I think he came on, I don't know, maybe played like a half. But like, that's kind of what they're going for. In terms of, I mean, coaching, I just can't believe we haven't looked for, I think part of it was let's wait for the election for a new president. And then once we got the new U.S. soccer president, it was, all right, let's start to look at winning the World Cup and solidifying that. And now that that's done, like, I mean, I don't know how long that's been, but it's been at least a couple months. Like, why has there not been any movement? And I guess if you wanted to wait till after the World Cup to see if you were able to maybe pick up a, I don't know, like a somebody's coach, like a Belgium, like a Roberto Martinez or whoever. That's done now. I mean, where's the movement? I understand that Juan Carlos Osorio kind of held some cards on this, and now that he's moved on, there's a little bit more of a, I guess you could say, there's a little bit more of a clarity that he is not in the picture, and so we kind of have to look at where we are able to go. I mean, there were a lot of candidates out there before the season started that you could have argued would have been perfect for this. I completely disagree with a lot of people's takes that you have to be knowledgeable about the soccer system in America to be a good U.S. men's national team coach. Every country that has a national team and has any, even a little bit of a diaspora throughout the country, the world, has the same issues the United States has. Attracting good talent, finding talent within your borders and finding talent outside your borders. And where does that start? I mean, it starts with having a good domestic league, which we do. But at the same time, we need a system to build a team on. And so an interim coach just, I mean, we're playing a probably five at the back. I just, there's no consistency, right? Like nobody thinks, oh yeah, America, like this is what we do. Whereas like we have young, talented players to build a team on. So I don't understand it. I think all the name, I don't want an MLS coach. I think that'd be dumb. There's no progress. It's just silly. We're not going to win the World Cup in 2022. So it's not like we need a, like, I know there's all these stats that are like, everybody that's won a World Cup has been from their country. But like, that's kind of pointless when it comes to us right now. I don't think we're winning a World Cup anytime soon, but we can make the quarterfinals, the semis. If we tried, we got a good draw. England did, you know? So that's how I feel.
It's true. Armin, Juan Carlos Osorio, are you sad to see him go to Paraguay? Or
absolutely. I kind of hate this narrative that's being pushed I would say by some people in MLS circles, I was talking to another journalist about this, and I find it baffling. I feel like whenever you hear the word rotation, I guess you think of Klinsmann, and then you think, oh, Klinsmann ended up really bad, so Osorio is going to be really bad too. I think it's ridiculous. The fact is Osorio is bilingual, and I think that'll play a massive role, especially in some of the Latino American players. He's one of the most, like I'd say, crazier coaches in terms of tactics. We saw what he did against Germany, giving a little bit of time, giving a little bit of effort. He knows a game plan to put on for players, and players have complimented him. I think a lot of Mexico players talked about how that if their club team called upon them to play a different position, they were ready because of Juan Carlos Osorio. There's many aspects. I mean, you could say, okay, maybe he rotates too much or whatever, but I feel like there's just a little bit too much of a narrative that he is very similar to Klinsmann, when in reality, Klinsmann was setting up teams at 3-5-2 2 days before they're supposed to play Mexico. And Osorio has a game plan throughout. I'm upset. I am a little upset to see Juan Carlos Osorio leave for Paraguay. And I guess it's going to lead to us getting an MLS coach, because we're done waiting for the World Cup. I guess we're waiting for the MLS season to end and to hire an MLS coach from there.
You kind of mentioned it on your other podcast, but do you think that Sarakin, whose name would be in for the permanent job there, or do you think that he's just a caretaker?
I hope to God that he's not going to be the coach. He's done a great job, you know, being that caretaker, being that guy. But I do feel like there's a little bit of momentum throughout, because first off, Ernie Stewart hasn't interviewed anyone for the coaching vacancy yet. So we got that. Sarakin got that nice, meaningless result against France, that 1-1 draw. And he's looking for more results in some of these matches than to play lots of younger players. Now, I get it. You don't want to throw the younger kids into the fire and just get them absolutely mauled. But I do feel like Sarakin is playing a little bit for his job, and what he's doing is admirable. I think, let's not take away from what he's doing, which is basically being that guy isn't going to get the coaching spot. I hope not. And is bringing on some younger players and whatnot. But I do feel like USSF's kind of like, okay, maybe we could hire him. He's had a couple of good results here or there. He's Bruce Arena's old assistant. He's had history here. I mean, why not? I really hope not. That'd be such a lazy, uninspiring choice. But I wouldn't be surprised if they did it, to be honest. And I feel like a lot of people would be. But I'm going to be one of those guys to say, no, I will not be surprised if he was hired as a manager instead of an MLS coach.
Gotcha. Anybody have any parting thoughts on the U.S. men's national team international break this go-round?
Oh, yeah, man. I think it's a great chance to see more of Tim Weah. Mm-hmm. I think if you were like, who's going to be a breakout star of U.S. soccer in the next 5 years, besides Pulisic, obviously, I think Tim Weah has a chance. I think Tim Weah talks about soccer the way that LeBron and Kobe talked about basketball. It's crazy how intense he is about his game. Kind of like that. I want to see that more. So that's why I'm glad that he gets called in, even though he's not really played a whole lot. And he's going up against a lot of PSG players, so he'll have something to show against them. So I'm excited to see that. And hey, man, Julian Green's back. Everybody likes Julian Green, I think. Now, on the coaching side, I will say this. I think the U.S. is in like a really unique position in that, like, it's pretty much assured we're always going to qualify for the World Cup going forward due to the expansion of things. But that being said, we have like a really unique opportunity to like maybe go outside the box with the coach that maybe we'll just play a certain system and stick to that system. And that's something you want to look for. And so I would be really, really interested in seeing some of the seeing us go after, take a chance on the coach that maybe is just looking for one last challenge, or maybe somebody who, I don't know, like an Henri. Like, well, I don't know why we don't look at somebody like that who is just really ambitious and has done a lot. But yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't be against something like that. It's just, everybody always says you have to have some sort of experience with like U.S. soccer to coach here.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I disagree with that completely. I think if you had to ask who's the perfect coach for the United States, I think Antonio Conte would be perfect. He plays terrible football. It's ugly. It's disgusting. It's very negative. Lots of defensive tactics. Very defensive. But what is our biggest issue as a national team? Giving up goals after we go up 1-0. We give up goals when we're not supposed to. Forget about scoring them. We'll score them. We'll score a goal every now and then. We'll get some set pieces. But we give up stupid goals constantly. Every World Cup, we do this. And who's the one coach that would be able to teach Tyler Adams how to be just the ultimate destroyer when it comes to that? It'd be Antonio Conte. I think that's like a perfect fit. Everybody would be like, oh, it's so negative. That's exactly what we need. We need somebody that's going to teach us how to defend. Because right now, it's not about finding attacking players. I think that we'll be able to find attacking talent in the United States. It's about learning how to defend. I mean, all you have to do is look at our back line and look at the players that we have. We have some really good pieces, but it's about putting that together. And I think Antonio Conte would be perfect for that. And so I would be interested in that. I think that'd be a big coup. And so that's a complete example of someone who has literally no experience in the MLS. So I'd go with something like that. I've always thought that would be nice to have, but nobody's going to listen to me and his name never pops up. So apparently he's very expensive as well. Like, I'm talking like five, like,
oh, come on. You know, USA got the funds.
Yeah. Double the Clemson money. The funds. So. I think he's pretty happy sitting on his Chelsea payout that he got.
All that pay to play money's got to go somewhere.
Dustin, I want to hear who do you think would be a good coach for the national team? Put you on the spot.
I honestly haven't given it much thought. I don't think I've made a secret that I'm not a huge national team guy. I think,
what about Oscar Pereja?
No, I don't know that that would work. I was really thinking it would be Jesse Marsh. And you know, maybe he's over there in Leipzig, or is it Leipzig that he's at?
Yeah.
An assistant, learning some things, and he's ready to come back in December. Who knows? But that would have been my call, or my shout, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. It's interesting. I think they probably told him you're not in it. And so he made the move as soon as they told him you weren't going to get that. Because all the timing kind of works for something like that to have happened. So,
you know who else doesn't have a job right now is Jason Kreese.
Yeah, Kreese doesn't have one either. That's true. I would be a little bit surprised about that. But
you'd think that if he was going to get it, they would have already given it to him. So... all right. Well, let's call time on that U.S. men's national team stuff. And Armin, why don't you tell everybody where we can find you at?
Yeah, so you can find my work on prosoccerusa.com or thirddegree.net. I post a little bit more on Pro Soccer USA, but I do occasionally post on thirddegree.net. You can find me on Twitter at Armand Kafai, which is at ArmanKafai, and I usually post all my work there and boost myself there and other people that I like too, like y'all. So go ahead and give me a follow. Yeah, hey, this was fun, guys. This was fun.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. Anytime you've got a piece or something you want to promote, feel free to give us a shout, and you're welcome back anytime, sir.
So, thank y'all so much.
All right, everybody have a good week and enjoy your off week, and we'll see you after the Columbus game.
All right, see you later.